Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Whenever God's child finds himself in the crosshairs of Satan, God doesn't give his child a heart to go silently into the shadows. God gives his child a heart to declare the truth even more boldly. He does it for the glory of God and the good of his sheep. And I do pray now that God would glorify himself and edify you who are his through the message. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Romans 7, 18. Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now the Apostle Paul is writing under the direct power of God the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word. This is not Paul's word. This is God's word speaking through Paul. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So he's speaking for God, what he's speaking here. And God's using Paul to declare how the law is good. The law is good in that God blesses it to declare his child guilty. That's what it's for, and it's good. He said back in verse 16, if I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Not now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now what does God mean when he moved Paul here to write that it's no more Paul that does it, but sin that dwells in him? He said, it's no more me that does it, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What does that mean? Well, does God move Paul to write that no good thing dwelled in him? God moved him to restrict and qualify that statement. God moved him to qualify that statement. He said, that is in my flesh. That is in my flesh. It means in that part of him which is born of Adam. That part of him which is only sin. And can do nothing but sin. Paul is a regenerated believer or he wouldn't know this about himself. You don't know this about yourself until God's given you life and spiritual discernment. And God gives that in that new man. Therefore, what he's declaring here is true of every regenerated child of God. In our flesh dwells no good thing. In our flesh dwells no good thing. But why the qualification? Why qualify that? Why not just say, I know that in me dwells no good thing? That would mean everything in me is no good. Why not declare it like that? Why did he say, that is in my flesh? The reason Paul qualified that it was in our flesh that no good thing dwells is because in the regenerated believer, there is an inward man, which is the creation of Christ. And everything God creates is good. That's why. Now be sure you understand that this distinction, this qualification is not to encourage you and me to look within us. That's not the case. We're never to look to ourselves for anything. We look only to Christ. We look only to Christ. But it's to make certain. It's to make certain that we do not deny the work of God. It's to make certain that we do not deny the Spirit of Christ that dwells in his people. It's to make certain we do not deny Christ himself who works this in his people through the Holy Spirit. See, this is for the glory of God, not for the glorification of the sinner. No, no. This is to glorify God. We're looking at what God makes. We're looking at what God does. Just like when we look to the cross and we glorify God for Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. We're looking at what God does to bring us to believe and to rest in Christ. This is the work that He does. Now, my outline's very simple. First of all, in our flesh dwells nothing good. And secondly, in order for us to know this, God must create a new inward man within us. And thirdly, God made Paul qualify this statement because that which Christ creates is good like Christ. Now, here we go. First of all, in every believer, that is, in our flesh, dwells no good thing. In the Scriptures, the flesh is the natural part of the believer which is born of Adam. It's that part you and I are born with when we come into this world, being born the first time. Now, in the context here, let's get the context. The flesh is not that part of the believer in which we have a new will to believe God. It's not in that part. The will is the new will He gives us is not in the flesh. Look here, verse 18, He said, "For to will is present with me." No natural man has a will to serve God. He has a will to serve the God of his imagination, but not the true and living God. Christ makes us willing in the day of His power, and He does that in the inward man, not in the flesh. And then the flesh is that natural born corrupt nature in the believer in which nothing but sin dwells. Look at verse 20. He says, "Now if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Sin that dwells where in me? In my flesh. And the flesh is that part in the believer in which evil dwells. He says in verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Where? In the flesh. Not in the inward man, in the flesh. Look at verse 22. "The flesh is not that part of the believer that delights in the law of God." Verse 22, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Oh, wait, there's two different men in a believer, isn't there? There is an old man of sin, of flesh, and there's an inward man that God's made. The flesh is called in here my members. And it actively opposes the mind of Christ that's been given to me in the new man. You get that? The flesh is actively always opposing the mind of Christ which we are given in the new man. Look here, verse 23. "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." Paul said we have the mind of Christ. That's in the inward man. He says, "I see a law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." You see, this sin's not in my new mind that's in the new man. It's in my members. It's in my flesh. Now, we're not talking about bodily flesh. We're not talking about this bodily flesh right here. We're talking about a nature that's in us, an old nature that makes us do what we do. The flesh is called the body of death. Look at verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's talking about the flesh. That's the body of death. Christ came into this world. Look back at Romans 6. Look up there at Romans 6. Romans 6, 6. "Knowing this, our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, it's not destroyed. You can see Paul is saying it's not destroyed in the sense that sin still dwells in me. But it's destroyed in the sense that Christ has justified us, and that old man is dead now. Judgment's been poured out on him when it was poured out on Christ. So we don't look to that old flesh and doubt God and worry that we're not saved. We look to Christ and know that old man's been crucified. Though he's still with me, though he still plagues me, Christ shall deliver me. Look here. He says, I thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will deliver me? Christ will. How? By what he did for me on the cross and by renewing the inward man day by day. That's right. Because that's the real me, the inward man that he's made. So he'll keep renewing it. So then, I conclude there's a difference and there's a distinction between the inward man and the flesh. Look at verse 25. So then, with the mind, in the new man, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now this is why God made Paul distinguish between the flesh and that new spirit put in us by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, every child that Adam conceives is only sinful, corrupt flesh. What about the fleshly mind? There is a mind of Christ in the new man, and then there's a fleshly mind. What about the fleshly mind? Ephesians 4:18 says, we have the understanding darkened. That's our fleshly mind. The understanding is darkened. What about fleshly knowledge? He said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man, that's the old flesh, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. What about the fleshly heart of stone? Ecclesiastes 9:3 says, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Well, what about the love toward God? Is there any love toward God in my flesh? The carnal mind is enmity against God. Well, what about fleshly ability? Do I have any fleshly ability to believe? Is there any ability in my flesh to believe God? John 12:39 says, they could not believe. Thinking of men that were only flesh, they could not believe. What about any fleshly power to acknowledge Christ? 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And that's in the new man. And not only does the flesh not cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God, not only is, you know, you'll hear men say that, well, you have a spark in you and all the Holy Spirit's got to do is fan it and then you're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. Not only does the flesh not cooperate with the Spirit, the flesh constantly only opposes the Spirit. He said in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So get this point now. In our flesh dwells nothing good. Not life, not even a spark of life. Nothing good. Not faith, not repentance, not love, not any fruit of the Spirit is given into the flesh, into the old nature. No, sir. God doesn't put anything in the flesh. He doesn't use the flesh. He doesn't mold the flesh into something else. He doesn't use the flesh at all. Christ was very clear. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. And I hear men, you know, here's one of the objections. Well, that's so foolish. How can you separate that part of you which is flesh and that part of you which is the new man? I can't. When I see myself, all I see is a sinner. But one day, God will. When I die, you know what's going to die? That old fleshly man. The old nature's going to die. You know what's going to still live? The new man. He's going to go to be with God immediately. Then he'll separate it, but not till then. Not my business to try to separate. All right, secondly, understand that in order for us to know this about ourselves, we've got to be born again and have a new man created in us. It's not in the old man that we know this. It's in the new man we know this. Look at Romans 7:18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The Apostle Paul could never make that statement unless he'd been born of the Spirit of God. Unless a new man had been created in him, a new spirit put in him, by God the Holy Spirit, he could in no way know that about himself. Scripture says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, and he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that's spiritual, that's the new man. That's the inward man that delights after every word of God. In the new man, he's spiritual, and he judgeth all things. That means he discerns all things. Yet he himself's judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But in that new man, we have the mind of Christ. That's the mind he's talking about in that new man. So see, he had to be born of God. So God made Paul state clearly that everybody that's born of God has a new spirit put in him by the Spirit of God. And he has an old fleshly nature. Look at Romans 7, verse 5. When we were in the flesh, see that? When we were in the flesh, when all we were was flesh, for we were born of God, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's all flesh brought forth was death. Well, after you're born of God, guess what it brings forth? Nothing but death. So how do we serve God? Verse 6, but now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Not in the oldness of the letter. In newness of spirit. The same power of God, the very same power of God that spoke heaven and earth and all things that were created into existence, that same power of God spoke into our hearts and created a new spirit, a new heart within. Paul said, God who said, let there be light. God who created light by speaking and saying, let there be light. That same God has shined in our hearts. How did he do it? He spoke the word. Christ said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and their life. He spoke the word. And he caused the light to shine forth and made us to see the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you have this spirit in you, this new spirit put in you, this light put in you of God, that's the first time you'll actually start looking outside of yourself and look to Christ and to Christ only. So now get this as well. Until this work is performed, we will plead that our flesh is used in some way. We will plead our flesh is used in some way until we have this new spirit put in us. We'll say that there's a will for God in our flesh. Or we'll say that there's a spark of life in our flesh. Or we'll say that God puts the fruit of the Spirit in the flesh, and it's my flesh that believes God. In my flesh I believe God, because all I am is flesh. That's just attributing something to the flesh. No, it's not the flesh that does anything but sin and oppose God. And we'll deny that necessary work of Christ that he has to do for us, and that glory of Christ that he has to perform in us. And we'll deny that. And we'll do it claiming we're wanting to glorify God, just like the Pharisees crucified Christ calling glory to God. So we have to be born of God. And once we are, we know these things. Now, thirdly, understand this. God made a distinction. He made Paul make a distinction because everything that Christ creates in the new creation is very good. Everything. Now, again, I have to reiterate this because I want you to not misunderstand what I'm saying. What we're talking about here now is Christ and his work of making a new creation within us. Making a new creation within us. In Isaiah 65:17, let's go there. Isaiah 65:17. We looked at this in depth when we went through Isaiah. But let's just read it here for now. Isaiah 65:17. Listen to what the Lord said. Isaiah 65:17. He said, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem of rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Does Christ rejoice in a man who's only sinful flesh and that's all he is? Does Christ rejoice in that man? No. The wrath of God abides on that man. How then, who is it then that Christ rejoices in when he says, I rejoice in my people? He rejoices in that new man in which he's created. That new man that he's made one with him. That new man where we worship God. There's where the rejoicing he rejoices in. That new man. This is the work of regeneration. The Apostle Paul, you know what he called this work? He called it a good work. He called it a good work. He said, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why is it a good work? Because God is good. Everything about God's good. And every perfect and good gift comes down from God to us. Only good and perfect gifts come down from God to us. And God is the creator of this new spirit and this new man within us. This new heart that's put in us. He said, even everyone that's called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I formed him. Yea, I've made him. So this new work we're talking about, it's not for you and I to glory in us. It's for us to glory in God in what he's done for us. God said, that's why I made him. I made him for that reason. Colossians 3:10 says, the new man's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God created this new man within. And when God created that first creation, you know what God said? Scripture says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. Oh, preacher, you can't say that about anything in us. You can't say there's anything in us that's very good. There is nothing in you and me that's very good. That is in our flesh. But whatever God creates is very good. He's very good. This new creation is good. This new creation is born by the Word of God. He said, of his own will begot he us with the Word of God. And he didn't just say that he caused us to be born by the Word of God. He said this. He said, the Word of God abideth in you. The Word of God abideth in you. Is the Word of God good? Yeah, it's very good. Where is it? It's in the new man. Is it in my flesh? No way. It's in the new man. The Spirit of God Himself abides in the inward man. Scripture says Christ is formed in the inward man. Is He good? Oh, He's very good. Very good. The anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. Is His anointing good? Very good. Very good. The effectual work of God within His child is always good. Listen to this. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. When God worked that and put that clean heart and that right spirit in Him, what's a clean heart? It's very good. It's the work of God. It's very good. In the new heart, God gives faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. God said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. That means with faith, God's pleased. Well, how could God be pleased with a sinner? He's not pleased with my flesh. He's pleased with me in that new man because that new man believes on Him, trusts Him. I have communion with God in the new man. Scripture says, love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Where's that love? It's in the new man. Is that good? Is love good? It's of God. You better believe it's good. He says we have repentance and faith towards God. We have repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Is repentance and faith good? Sure is. It's of God. It's in the new man. He said, God said, I will put my fear in their hearts. Is he talking about he would put his fear in our old stony, sinful heart? No. I put my fear in that new heart. Is God's fear good? It's the beginning of wisdom. Better believe it's good. Yes, it's good. He gives us new desires and new affections and new motives in that new man. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. We just read the Old Testament passage about him being the Creator. This is where Paul is quoting from in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He's quoting from that verse in Isaiah 65. Now listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Pay close attention to the context. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, here's our new heart, our new motive. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. Now let me ask you a question. Where is this love constraining us? Where is it? Well, it's in Christ, that's for sure. It's the love of Christ. But what's being constrained? That new man. In that new man, there's a constraint from the love of Christ. Where's this? He says, so that we thus judge. That's discernment. He said, we thus spiritually discern. Where's that spiritual discernment? It's in the new man. It's in the new heart. It's not in the flesh. It's in the new heart. So, this is a good work that God works in His child to give us heart to discern, because look, this is what we discern. Verse 14, that if one died for all, Christ died for all His elect, and if one died for all, this is the result. Then we're all dead. He's saying what He said in Romans 6. Since Christ died for all God's elect, that old man of sin is dead for all His people. That old man's dead. He's dead. He's dead. That old thing is dead. There's a new thing in you now that He created. And that old thing is dead. Now read on verse 15. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Where do we live? What part of me is alive? The new man. So that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto Christ which died for them and rose again. That's only in the new man. That's only in Christ, brethren. Do we glory in Christ for making us the righteousness of God? In the new man, we glory in Christ for making us holy by His sanctifying work. In the new man, we glory in Christ for redeeming us entirely from the curse of the law and making us free to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the new man, we glorify Christ for all things, because all things are of God. Look, read on. Verse 16, here's the result. In that new man, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. That old thing's passed away. Used to, that's all we judged men by was the flesh. We looked on the appearance of things. But He says, henceforth know we Him no more, or no man after the flesh, and we knew Christ after the flesh once. That's all we knew. When we were dead in sins, we only knew Christ after the flesh. That's why we didn't know Him, who He was, truly. But now we don't know Him after the flesh anymore either. That's passed away too. Where's this passed away? In our new man. That old man of flesh in which we didn't know Christ, we didn't worship Christ, that's passed away. Because in this new man, now we know Him in spirit. You see, there's a new thing. There's an old thing that's passed away. There's a new thing now. Look here. Verse 17, therefore, referring to this work done for us and in us by Christ. He's talking about both of them right here. What He did for us and what He's done in us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the only way experimentally in the power of God's grace that you're in Christ is when Christ is in you. Now, from eternity, we were in Christ by divine election. But the way you experience being in Christ and know you're in Christ is for Christ to be in you. And that's what He's talking about here. Now, watch. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creation. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all these new things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's telling us this work of being born again, of being having a new man created in us, in which we see all the old flesh and all the old way of discerning and all the old way of judging after the flesh. We see all these old things are gone now. And the only way we know this is because we're put a new man's put in us, wherein all things are new. And this work was done by Christ doing the work on the cross for us. It's done through Christ shedding His blood for us and justifying us and purging us of all sin, so that God's fully just now to come to His child and reveal the truth in us in the inward man. He's just to come and create it. Paul called it the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, that work on the cross was necessary in order for this work in us to be done. And both are necessary, and both are Christ. He did both. He's our righteousness and our sanctification. He's both. He's both. He alone gets all the glory. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That like as sin has reigned unto death, even so might righteousness reign unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Where do you have eternal life? Do you have it in the flesh? The flesh is going to die. The flesh is dead and dying and shall soon be dust. No, we have eternal life in Christ, with Christ in us, in that new man. It's a new spirit that's going to go be with God, because Christ has made us new. So what are these old things that have passed away? Through that justifying righteousness of Christ, He has come and He's made us put on the new man. And He says that's where old things are passed away. He said where there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. That's how we used to judge after the flesh. That's gone. But now, what's the new thing that's in the new man? Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. That's right. Christ said this, make the tree good and His fruit will be good. Make the tree good. Create a new tree and the fruit will be good. And that's what He's done in the inward man. A good man, He said, out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now some people have accused me of preaching self-righteousness for preaching these scriptures. Let me tell you what self-righteousness is. Self-righteousness is to say that you are made righteous by yourself. That's what self-righteousness is. Have you heard me say that? Is that what I've said here and everything? I've tried to be as clear as I can be that, no, sir, nothing what I'm talking about is of you or me at all. In our flesh dwells no good thing. What I'm talking about is the creation of Christ alone. Was Christ self-righteous for declaring a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things? Was He self-righteous for declaring that? No. And neither is there self-righteousness in the inward man. This new heart, this new fruit is produced by sanctification of the Spirit in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He gets all the glory. And anybody born of the Spirit of God gives Him the glory. They give Him the glory. And don't at all boast in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul did tell us there are some who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. That is, they have an outward form of godliness, but they deny the power in the new heart, because they don't have that power working in a new heart. You see, this power is not an external form. This work we're talking about here is not an external form. This work we're talking about is not by the works of our flesh. It's not at all by anything you and I have done. This is only the new man that's created by God. For us who have partaken of this first resurrection, and that's what it's called in Scripture, the first resurrection. We've been born from the dead because Christ gave us life. Now then, brethren, one day our bodies too shall be quickened and resurrected. That's what he said in Romans 8. Even though the body's dead right now, one day he's going to quicken that spirit that raised up Christ. If he dwelled in you, he'll also quicken your mortal bodies one day. Well, when he does that work, we shall be perfectly righteous and holy inside and out. We'll be perfectly conformed to his image inside and out. Right now, we're only conformed to his image in the new man in which he's created. Then we'll be perfectly conformed to his image inside and out. Totally, thoroughly, completely. Will we all be self-righteous then in glory, walking around as a bunch of self-righteous folks? No. We'll be glorifying Christ who did it all. Just like those with a new man do right now. We glorify Christ for doing it all. You get what I'm saying? It's not self-righteousness at all. But now, listen to this. We can get a hint of what how that new man is created by looking at how that body's going to be raised from the dead and what it'll be when it comes forth from the grave. Let me give this to you. I want you to go home and read this. 1 Corinthians 15:42. Listen to what Paul said. He said that new body is going to come out of the grave and it is raised in incorruption. You know what he said about this new spirit that he's created? It's born of incorruptible seed. When something's born of incorruptible seed, it can't be corrupted. It can't be corrupted. And he says this, it is raised in glory. Remember Christ said, the glory, Father, that you've given me, I've given them. That they may be one like we're one. It's raised in glory, in the glory of our Redeemer. And he said it'll be raised in power. You know what Ephesians 1, at the end of Ephesians 1, you know how it says this new man is born? It's born with the same power that it took to raise Christ from the grave. Same power. Exceeding greatness of his power. You see, you can look at the way the body's going to be raised and see how the spirit is raised. And how it's made new. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly, spiritual tables of the heart, in the new heart. In 1 Peter 3:4, he called it the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Because it's born of incorruption. It's born of incorruptible seed. It can't be corrupted. So God says through Paul, he's given him a word to speak to declare to us that in our flesh dwells nothing good. You see, he's talking about the law, and he's showing us here what the law teaches us about our flesh, that in our flesh dwells nothing good. But in the course of writing this, God checked him. And he said, qualify that. That is, in my flesh dwells nothing good. And the reason God had him write this is because whatever God creates, that new man God's created, is good. We are, Paul said, the workmanship of God. This pulpit right here, I'm so thankful for it. Brother Adam built this pulpit. And Christina Scott stained this pulpit. You know what this pulpit is? It's their workmanship. It's their workmanship. If I brag on this pulpit, I'm not bragging on myself at all. I'm bragging on their handiwork. I'm bragging on their workmanship. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying this is their workmanship. That's what I'm doing in this message. I'm not bragging on me and you. I'm bragging on God. I'm boasting in what God's created, We're His workmanship. We're His workmanship. That new man. Listen to this and I'll close with it. Go with me to Romans 2. Let's look at this again and we'll close. Romans 2, 28. Romans 2, 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, a true child of God, a true Hebrew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of me and you. We had nothing to do with this. We had as much to do with this creation as we did when our mother and father created us the first time. We don't have anything to boast in. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Of God. That's why Paul made the distinction. That in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Now, if he's made you new and he's given you a new heart, I know what's happening in that new man in you. You're rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're rejoicing that all the glory and all the praise and all the honor goes to him. And I know what's happening if he hasn't put this new man in you. You're trying to figure out how you can reject this message and object to it and use the scripture to do so. That's right. There'll probably be 15 messages preached trying to do just like that. Do that very thing. Against what I'm saying. But not for you who have experienced this new birth. You say, glory to God in the highest. I'm thankful for what He's done. He did it all. He did it all. And if He's done it all, cast all your care on Him and glory only in Him and follow only Him, knowing flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen.